And here's a statistics that should be amazing to anybody. There are 7 billion people on this planet, and everybody on it is unique. And that's an astonishing fact. And we believe every single one of us has some kind of a gift that we have to share with the rest of the world.
It's leaning into knowing that you have a special gift inside of you that is going to require you to dig a little bit deeper and expose yourself in a way that you feel very uncomfortable or awkward doing. By doing this, you are giving someone else permission to be themselves. And that is a huge gift.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast. Today, we are zigzagging all the way across the country to bring you some amazing people, my friends, Byron and Mariah Edgington. Mariah and Byron, how are you guys today? Thanks for joining us.
We're doing great, Andy. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, Andy, thanks for the opportunity. We're doing wonderfully well. Yeah,
excellent.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. It's been almost exactly a year since we met in person at Encounter 360, which is just so fun when we get to meet people, you know, face to face, do the hugs, and realize that those connections can go so much more beyond just the LinkedIn world where we meet each other originally. So
absolutely. Yeah, we were privileged to see you in person and realize just how freaking funny you are, my friend.
Oh. Yeah. Well, thank you. That is an honor. And likewise, y'all are going to hear about this in just a minute, but I was honored to be able to hear Mariah and Byron speak. And it's so neat to see someone. I'll just say this, like, it was amazing to see someone speak in tandem where you guys really have a coordinated, your jokes are just, and you're passing the ideas back and forth. And to me, I'm off the cuff a lot when I speak. So I have a plan for my ideas, but I thought, that's a whole extra level of coordination and planning and preparing that I have just so much respect for. So
yeah, in fact, it was, I forget who said it at Encounter, but I think they were kind of right. For those familiar with that art form, he said that we were kind of like a vaudeville act.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
I never put that together until he said that, but
be George Burns and Gracie.
We are.
No way.
Yeah, it helps to be ancient. You know, yeah.
You got a lot of experience and perspective.
Lots of wisdom.
Yeah.
George and Gracie in a past life or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. The new rendition or the next generation of that. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That is. Well, I'm going to be watching for more of your acts then, and
okay.
Coming to vaudeville near you. Excellent. Well, how are you guys? You are, you're across the country from me. You are just doing amazing things. What's just something the positive you guys see going on right now?
Yeah. Well, that's the you're gonna tee that right up, and I'm gonna take it and run with it. What drives us, Andy, is our business is Mandate to Elevate, LLC. And what that means is just what it says. We feel like we have a mandate to lift other people up. Mm-hmm. And the reason we feel that partly is because of what we did for a living way back in the 20th century. I was a pilot and Mariah was a nurse. And we lifted people up for a living. That's what we did. That was our job description. And when we retired, we realized we just enjoy it so much. And we were so good at it that we decided to keep doing it. And that's what we do. So we're speakers, we're authors, we do webinars and master classes. And we just, whatever way we can find to affirm other people and show them that number one, and this is kind of our tagline, Number one, they need to own their value, because everybody is a precious human being that has a lot of value and something to share. And number two, that they are more than enough. And that's it. That's the whole sum total of it.
Well, right, except there. That we want everybody to have fun.
Well, you have fun too. Gotta do that.
Gotta be on fun. Right. Gotta be right.
Gotta know fun people like Andy Barton.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to throw the fun in there along the way. And this is what I love about your teamwork and partnership. And I mean, it's so much more than that. I mean, but that you both, you know, Byron can come in and say, you know, these are the things. And Mariah's like, but wait, there's more.
But wait.
Get your Jinsu knives. No,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, wait, if you subscribe now, you'll, you know, we can also offer you this fun thing.
Yeah. For a limited time, you know.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you have incorporated what you've done in the past in the name of your company. That just is such a great visual when I picture a plane or a helicopter, anybody just lifting off and taking, you know, elevating people, like physically, to line that up and to be picking people up on a stretcher. Like you're getting people up out of space where they may be the hardest or worst time of their life, or where they don't see that they can be in a better place and need that outside help, and then turning that and empowering them to take those next steps.
You know, that's so true, Andy. When we look at it, it's not a stretch to see that there are a lot of people that are in that low place, and even though they don't know that they need that assistance, the moment somebody is driving down the road and they're in an accident and they get taken by the ambulance to the hospital, they know they need assistance. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at people's lives today and you see people in this overwhelmed state, they're just doing, and they feel like, oh my gosh, I can't get ahead because I hear it on social media. I hear it on the news. Things are really terrible. And they start incorporating that, and they don't realize they're going down lower and lower and lower
mm-hmm.
until they hit a wall where it is obvious how low they are. And so our mandate to elevate now, instead of being physical as it was in the past, is now emotional and helping with mindset and helping give people tools to bring themselves back, that they know that they can be more than they feel like they have been because of where social media and news has brought them.
Yeah.
Outside forces. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that I find just intriguing is the choice of the word mandate. To me, if I viewed myself as having a mandate to help everyone own their awkward, it's like I can't afford to fall asleep on the job. Like it puts a lot more pressure on me, and in a good way, to be like, no, this is the expectation that I'm getting this out there to help people. And it's almost like you have given yourselves that responsibility and ownership to say, no, we can't rest on this. We need it. There's people out there that need to be elevated.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Especially right now, you know, following, and we're hoping the pandemic's over. It appears to be waning at least.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of other, you know, potentially diminishing things going on in the world today and society. So, and the other side of the mandate to elevate thing for us is that we have come to understand, number one, that we all have a mandate to elevate other people, number one. And number two, it's kind of a selfish thing because, and you know this yourself, when an audience responds to you, for example, mm-hmm. when you make other people feel better, you feel so darn good yourself.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's. I remember I shared this on social media a while back, but I was about a year into what I'm doing now, where I was really starting to focus on speaking. And I had this blog article that was talking about part of my story. And I received this note from a stranger who saw it on social media. And it said, you know, I'm sitting in my car, working up the courage to take the next steps in life. And I just read your post right now. And I remember taking a screen and how much that was giving him the courage to go talk to his parents and do what he needed to do to change his life. And I remember reading that and just like, you know, getting like shivers and kind of a little teary, thinking, no matter how successful I am, no matter how much money I am ever making, I always want this to be what motivates me. Like this is more, means more to me than however much I could live off of.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm
That's
thinking
right.
of your tag with own your awkward, and we said own your value. And now I'm putting the word mandate onto you, Andy, where when you're not just suggesting it, you're inviting people in. And what that does and what it did for me when I'm thinking of own your awkward, there's been so many times in my life I've felt less than. And it's because of that awkwardness, because of that not knowing and not understanding. But when you say own your awkward, that means it's okay. You've made my life and my what I call missteps or really blunders, you've made me see that it's okay to be awkward. And that is such a gift. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
That's right.
That means so much because I look up to you guys so much, and it's one of those things when you hear people that you have so much respect for, and they're like, "But your thing's really impact," and I'm like, "Wow, that just means a lot." So thank you. Yeah.
Certainly,
So
yeah.
speaking of awkward,
Yeah.
what kind of awkward thing do you guys want to share that you've had to own?
Well, for me, and it can start with me because I'm going to share this. This is it for people who are seeing things. We have a gratitude journal that we made, and the reason we made it was because we know that in order to own this awkwardness, I'm going to talk about. I had to become grateful for the things that were in my past. And even though I didn't like a lot of them, I made a lot of mistakes. I really did not have any idea how to be socially acceptable. And so I would say, I just blurt things out. And it would be, I might say something like, oh gosh, you know, your daughter's got a really nice dress on. I like that. But why does she even wear something like that? So my first part might be great. I'm kind of cool. And then I say something totally inappropriate.
We're like, Mariah, stop. Just don't let her finish
Good. You're good right there.
the
Yeah.
sentence.
But I didn't realize the social cues. I missed them. Missed that. But once I started learning that I can be grateful for the way I am and understand that I can forgive myself and move forward. And that's one of our big messages because I am neurodivergent. For those of you who've not heard and are listening to this for the first time, hearing neurodivergent, that means people with autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyscalculia, dysgraphia, OCD. These are terms that are under this neurodivergent category. And coming to this knowledge as an adult, I had to own my awkward in the fact that. Oh my gosh, I wasn't crazy, dumb, and stupid all my life. I am. And when you have somebody label you as neurodivergent, please know that it's not the label, it's the acceptance
That's right.
that it's okay to be who you are. And that's how my awkward came about. Now, my husband here had a little bit different awkwardness in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody has one, I suppose. But my role in all this, and this is a real revelation to me, because in Mariah's exploration of her neurodivergence, we realized that she was doing what we call neuromasking. She was hiding who she really is for years. And so in her exploration, and she has discovered all of these things, that's all these things are falling right into place and making a lot more sense. I have realized that my role as a neurotypical person has been, for years, has been dismissing her intuitions and her respect, you know, perspectives, and allowing her and enabling her to mask all that stuff. And it's hard to look at because I've done it a lot. And I love this woman more than my life. And it's painful to look back and see that that was my role. And it was, no, just nobody thinks that way, dear. Nobody really says that.
But apparently
Well,
somebody does.
yeah,
Yeah, absolutely.
and the interesting part of that is that when he first started realizing this, when we started digging into the research and really studying this, he would say, well, you're not neuromasking, are you? And I would go,
Well,
yeah,
yeah.
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 Wait, you've been doing that for 25 years and I didn't know it? Well, no, I didn't know to take that mask off.
Right.
I tried to hide the symptoms that I knew were offending people and tried to fit in.
And she's a lot more beautiful without the mask. Imagine.
Definitely. Well,
Yeah.
and I imagine that the majority of that was self-conscious, where you just program and train yourself to hide or to cover things up, or there's somewhere you're like, well, this didn't feel good, so I need to like put that filter out there that puts the mask up. Like something's gonna happen that's gonna trigger that mask going on, and it's, you almost don't even realize how much you're doing it.
Right.
Yes, and I could share. In fact, I'll ask my. Hang on a second. I'll ask my wife if I can tell this story. Okay. Excuse me. I'll be
Sure.
right
I'll
back.
distract the audience over
I'll
here.
come back.
Oh, okay. Well,
Is that
this is
okay?
yeah. This is a sad tale, but
Yeah, this
it'll
is kind of
resonate with a lot
sad,
of
but
people.
it'll resonate with some people. And this, in fact, I wrote about this on my Substack, because we have a Substack that we put out about once a week on neurodivergence. When Mariah was 11 years old, tell me, correct me if I get this, any of this wrong, she was selected to be the Mock Turtle in Alice in Wonderland, the Great
Okay.
Adventures of Alice in Wonderland. And so, and the Mock Turtle part was very appropriate, because the Mock Turtle was told to be somebody else,
Oh,
to
yeah.
not make trouble and just be somebody else. Well, during the rehearsals for this play,
I couldn't sit still.
Mariah couldn't sit still. She was just all
All
over
over
the
the
place,
place.
and
Yeah.
pestering her. And eventually, cut to the chase, eventually, the instructor took her and physically put her in a theater seat and duct taped her into the seat.
Oh my goodness.
True story. And
Wow.
so it gave a whole new meaning to duct tape. No, and masking tape. Masking,
Right.
what I meant to say. Anyway, that's one of the things that she looks back on. And at the time, I have to ask myself, what would my reaction have been at that time? I'd like to think I would have spoken up for her,
Right.
but probably not. And so that tells you my role in this has been not just to stick up for her, but to make sure she's not narrow masking anymore, because I want to see the real Mariah.
Yeah. And the thing is, because of the way you view the world, there are so many things that you're seeing and perceiving that other people aren't. And
Yes.
that's a beautiful thing, where it's like, wait, I can look at this from a different angle and question things that, if I'm putting the filter on, I'm not saying the question,
That's
that could
right.
stop the train wreck by going, why'd they do that? You're like, and other people are like, oh, I didn't even notice. And all of a sudden we're going, I'm glad Mariah was here with her neurodivergent mind, because we would have missed that. We would have had a train wreck. And because she didn't have the social holding back to not say the question, that can
Yeah,
save the day.
that reminds me when you said that, I did have a lot of intuition. I worked in critical care and emergency for years, and one night I was in a neuro intensive care unit, and actually it was in the surgical intensive care unit I was working that night, and I had a patient come back to me fresh out of the OR and got there, and everything looked good, and the residents and all the surgeons and everybody were there. We were tucking them in, getting everything set. They all left me with the intern there, and I just wasn't comfortable with all the, even though it looked perfect on the outside. And I said to the little in to the intern who was just fresh out of med school, something's not right. We need to call and find, get the surgeon back down here. Well, I got blown off there, and so I called the second year, and I progressed all the way up. And at one point, the resident called his chief resident and said, I don't know why she's saying this, but and I'm calling you because, and the chief resident said, who's the patient's nurse? And when he said it was Mariah, that resident was told to go to the bedside immediately.
Right away.
They got there when the patient, we were doing CPR on him.
Wow.
They took him immediately to the OR and closed a bleeding thing that hadn't showed up yet.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it did.
Wow.
I know personally I've saved a lot of lives because of my intuition that followed at the time. Even though I didn't know I was neurodivergent, I know that my intuition was keen because I was looking out for these signs, these subtle differences in the
Yeah.
world that other people don't.
Exactly. And that's such a beautiful example. I'm not even just, hey, we didn't trip over the log, but a life was saved. And, I
That's
mean,
right.
one of many, I'm sure. And there's probably many that you saved that you don't even know because they didn't get to
Yeah, you're right.
that point,
That's true.
because it was caught. But, and also, how amazing of a reflection of the faith in you that that doctor had, who said, hey, if
Right.
it's all right, there's no question. You get over there right now because
Get your butt down
she's
there.
on it. This is not 1 week question because, yeah, I
Yeah.
think we all have those people we know that we're like, oh, here we go again.
Oh, yeah.
But
Sorry, too many times. No, yeah, you're right.
right, Andy.
And you know, Andy, the other side of this story is that it's one of the reasons that we have come to preach this from the housetops. These differences are not deficits. You know, they're
Exactly.
not. They're not something you want to medicate away. They are benefits. We need to explore all these things and find what benefits and what positives we can in these things and celebrate them, because these people with neurodivergencies, and you know, in the corporate environment, for example, maybe that's the place to look. People who hire, you know, dyslexic people, ADHD people, and if they put them in the right slot, that company can thrive with that kind of person.
Definitely. And that's
Yeah.
the thing, no matter what our talents are that we're bringing, it's about getting us in that right slot and say,
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
we need someone over here. I mean, I talk about this with corporations where you look at the teams that we have in different departments where, the accounting person gets driven crazy by the loosey-goosey relationship mindset of the salespeople, and the salespeople can't handle the black and white world of accounting. And it's like,
Yeah.
can we just make this work and figure it out? But you need that person in that role paying attention to the numbers and not being loosey-goosey. And you need the
Yeah.
person with the relationship skills and the able to massage situations in the sales role to boost that the organization up. And then you need, someone on the phone with the customers. It's like each of those important drivers of those businesses come with different personality traits. And we need to be able to say, let's not try to be the same, because being the same is what's going to be our downfall.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the tyranny of similarity. Yeah, and
Exactly.
let me give it. I'll give your listeners and your viewers here a plug for our book too, just by way of example.
Yeah.
You have that? Yeah. Let me show this here. Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
There we
Thank
go.
you.
Journey well. We're both holding it up for the people that are listening.
Well, you are more than enough. Now, this was because I had four or five aviation books that I had written already. And that book you had in your hand there was our first collaboration as a couple, as writers. And it was an amazing experience because I'm neurotypical as the day is long. I put one foot in front of the other until the manuscript is done, and then I send it to the editor, have them fix it. Well, that is just. Well, we went from chapter 6 to chapter 1 to chapter 4 to chapter 8. And
I can relate to that a little bit.
really, there was a lot of tension, but the result is it's a beautiful book and it says just what we wanted it to say. And I'm not sure if I had written it by myself that that would be true. Probably not.
Yeah, I love that. I love that both of you acknowledge each of your styles and how much that can drive each other crazy too,
Oh,
because as
yeah,
much as
absolutely.
Mariah could be over here going, come on, Byron, we don't have to go step by step. I'm over here. And that could drive her crazy just as much as you're going, I can't get to the other side of the bridge until I lay the next plank down. And I'm like, how are you going to get there? And she's like, I'm just jumping and I'll come back.
We'll come back.
But there is, I think we have to both acknowledge that we can drive each other crazy a little bit out of lack of understanding or lack of, this is how I process, and I don't process in that same way. But also, on the flip side, being able to say, but man, the things that that other person is doing is what's going to make this such an amazing, beautiful book. And we're going to balance each other out.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
It's true.
And it really, with relationships, I mean, you guys can speak to this better than anybody. I really believe it has to be the focus is not about, hey, we're trying to change the other person. We're trying to accept the other person and figure out, okay, how do we bring those into harmony where, you know, we're singing together beautifully, even though we're on different notes.
Yeah, absolutely true. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one thing Mariah mentioned earlier with the workbook, which I did not get yet, I named it, but I love that you mentioned that about being grateful for the past. It's so simple to be grateful and have gratitude and think about, okay, what space am I sitting in now? But finding gratitude in the things that I might not be very happy with, the choices I made in the past. So I'm curious, you've given us so many great stories and examples. Did you have a moment where you realized that that was something you had to really just say, you know, I haven't quite come to terms with all those weird times I said something about that girl's dress, or or was it just kind of a slow journey?
No, it really was in the last 3 years. 2.5 years ago, we started with a mentor who talks specifically about mindset. And though I was a nurse for many, many years, I'm a retired nurse. I guess once a nurse, always a nurse.
That's true story.
I didn't realize how much my mind had control over everything I do until the last 2.5 years. And because of that, I've been able to look at things in a different way and become aware that every thought I have controls my reality and it brings me into the future. But until I'm able to forgive myself and others of the past and just know that there are building blocks and learning stepping stones, lessons in everything that has happened, because I wouldn't be here talking to you had such and such not happened before, and that didn't happen before, then it wouldn't have led me to Andy Vargo and Own Your Awkward. Once I
Exactly.
realized that, how much control I had over the decisions and the choices I made, and I get to choose all my thoughts in my head. And that made all the difference in the world. And I want people to understand that. They have a lot more control over their lives than they think, especially when you hear somebody say, "Oh, I knew that was going to happen," or "That's never going to work for me."
Wow.
Any of these negative things we have figured that was true, and everybody told us, "Oh, I kind of feel sniffly today. I guess I'm going to be sick this weekend." Well, guess what?
That's
You
what you're
are.
sick.
You've got it. You know how to bring that negative into your life. So now switch it.
Right.
Switch it to a positive. Every time you go, "Oh, I am so dumb," why not just say, "Hey, I'm so smart," and start owning that? And just those little shifts, when I started saying changing these negative words in my head to positive words, I didn't believe it. I thought, "Oh, I'm just an imposter. Yeah, I'm a fraud." And then one day, these words that I had switched to, these positive words that followed, "I am," it became my reality. And I became confident. I became brave. I became energized. I became gracious. I became grateful for everything that's in my life. It just changed my life.
Yeah, it does. It really does work, and and unfortunately, with social media and what's in the news all the time, there's ample opportunity for people to just be negative all the time.
Exactly.
And you know, our subconscious. I'm going to avoid the neuroscience stuff here. I'll leave out to my friend Melissa Hughes,
Right.
but. Our subconscious minds just take stuff in and accept it. It doesn't react, it just accepts all that negativity.
Right.
But if we, and people don't realize how much choice we have in what we tell ourselves. Once you do take charge of that and own your value and realize you are more than, you're not just enough, you're more than enough. Then you start on that path to say, "Well, no, I deserve better than that. I'm not going to absorb all that nonsense. I'm going to start telling myself better stuff." And your life gets better. It just, there's no way around it.
Yeah, and I often remind people, like, we are not designed to know everything that could ever happen in the world. And yet we take all of that information in and try to process it. And yet, if we could just say, you know what? What's right in front of me right now? What's in my life? What do I have the effect over? And just focus on those things and then look for the good. I completely believe it. Ever since I've focused on my mindset, it's made a huge difference. It's just amazing to see. And one thing that I think is so important for people to know, and I hope they picked up on it because you've mentioned a little bit about it and you've made clues, but we meet people who are in a certain place in life, and it's way too easy to think, oh, you know, they've had years to figure this out. They've got all this developed, and I don't want to guess a number, but I know my Byron, you at least mentioned being together for 25 years. But of the time that you guys have lived and had together, this is a really recent development to be where you're at now, with the most recent learnings being in the last 3 years or so, is amazing to see how quickly it's made a difference.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's true.
it is
That's
true.
true.
We are fortunate because we really do it every day. We practice, we study, we focus on positives always. And that's not to say that there's not negative times, because Andy, we have the same situations everybody else does. We live in the world, we realize that it's a challenging time for people. And being in the professions like you are, where we don't have a steady corporate job, where you're getting, we're no longer in a situation where we get a steady income all the time. We do have, of course, retirement income, but normally when people realize that they have to focus on working, and if they don't get a speaking gig, if they don't get whatever, like you're looking at that kind of thing, it can get kind of hairy, and you go, oh gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? If we can calm ourselves down, know that we have enough in this very moment. I have a roof over my head. I have clean water. I've got electricity. I'm listening to this podcast. You clearly got a signal.
Like Carla
Right.
Hutton.
Yeah, it makes a difference. It helps you calm your mind and understand that right now you're safe and you're able to process and know that you can move forward in a safe way, in a
Exactly.
positive way.
Yeah, I think it's so important when you're focusing on gratitude. I used to think, oh, what are the biggest things? And you go to all the not that they're not things to be grateful for, but this little cliche, like I'm thankful for my health, I'm thankful for my family. But when you flip that upside down and say, what is the very smallest thing I can be grateful for right now? Like I can sit up, I have clean clothes to put on, I can breathe fresh air, I don't have to wear a mask to, you know, I'm not in a space where the air is so toxic that I have to be on oxygen, or I can pour water from my tap and drink that. Like very basic things, but it's amazing to think, wow, there are people in the world that don't even have that, or have, maybe there's one of those things they don't have, but like I have all of that, let alone the ability to get online and have amazing conversations with you guys and whatever the next thing is. And all of a sudden you're like, you almost get overwhelmed with how many good things are in your life that you push any of the negative out. And like you said, it's not that we don't have things that are tough or that are hairy that we go, oh gosh, that's a little scary. Because that's one thing I try to very much make clear with people is I'm not trying to preach, hey, oh, I'm this lotto winner that never had any problem in my life, or I was a trust fund baby or something. It's like, no, I'm just not living in that headspace. And it doesn't mean I don't get up sometimes and go, this might be kind of a challenging day. Or man, yesterday, I'm not sure how I made it through that, but I'm sure grateful that I get another chance today.
There you go. See that?
Exactly. That's perfect. I love that. That is excellent.
Sure. Good advice. Always, always.
So you've mentioned the book. We've talked about your speaking gigs. We didn't get too much into your speaking, and you do speaking, workshop, masterminds. Tell us a little bit about like what business looks like for you guys, how people can support you, what are the best ways for people to get behind a mandate to elevate and really be supportive.
Well, in 2024, we had so many people want to figure out this mind space we just talked about. And a lot of people were saying confidence is something that is difficult to master. And so it is true. Once we can build our confidence, we are able to harness a power within ourselves and really elevates us. So we created a course called Path to Confidence, and it's a 4-week course. The people who have started this are getting a video, an audio, and a self-reflection worksheet on the Monday of the week. And then later in the week on a Wednesday, we do a live broadcast with them, like we're doing now with Zoom.
Yeah.
And hear their wins, because one thing we know, Andy, is if your brain realizes even the smallest wins that you've had, like you just said,
mm-hmm.
you know, you yeah. understood that, gosh, I have these things in my life. And even though they might be small, we can celebrate those.
Sure. Yeah.
The more we do that, the higher our vibration goes up, the more energy we get, and the more confidence you can get from that. So
right.
we do a live on once a week. It's a 4-week program.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Path to Confidence. Yeah. And in addition, you held one of our books up,
mm-hmm.
Journey Well, You Are More Than Enough. First title. We also have a second title out. And this one is, the subtitle is Mindset Matters.
Can't get it right. There we go.
That one just happens to be an Amazon bestseller. So it's kind of even a surprise to us. But those are available. There's the workshop, the workbook. There's the gratitude journal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, let's see, what am I missing? Oh, we are TEDx speakers. So if anybody wants us to come on, and we love talking about this neurodivergence thing, we could go on for days. Yeah, TEDx only gives you 18 minutes, so we're
right.
a little constrained there. But we love talking about this stuff, and we love educating people about it, because you know it. We need to bring attention to this.
Do you have an idea of like the best places that resonate for your message for getting on stage? Is it corporations? Is it organizations? Schools? What's a good fit?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, schools probably would be a great place for that.
Excellent. Yeah,
because you know, I don't know. There's a TED Talk from a fellow named Sir Ken Robinson
mm-hmm.
many years ago. You may have seen it.
Yeah, and I just rewatched it recently. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And his main point was that we're stifling kids' creativity in schools, and why are we doing that? And that's kind of, so that would be a good venue for us as well, because we kind of even go away a step beyond what he said.
Yeah. And then also like corporations for healthcare too, that is interesting because we both come from the healthcare background. And mm-hmm. when we can help people to understand they need to own their own knowledge, their own right. intuitions, and bring those forward. Because a lot of times in corporate worlds, as you know, we get the employees kind of get tamped down. And
mm-hmm.
so that's unfortunate. If there's corporations that want to allow their employees to have an empowering message, right. that would be.
Yeah. Oh, and I've almost forgot this. I should mention too that we have created a writing course. This is an online course, and it's available for aspiring writers who want to succeed. Because as writers ourselves, we love seeing other writers succeed. Mm-hmm.
Now, in that course, do you go chapter by chapter, or do you bounce around, or what did you decide the right way was?
Well, let me tell you how I want it.
Right.
That's a very good question. Well, you know, they have the option. They can do either one if they want to.
Yeah. Right.
Because if there are 6 modules, then they can just go in and it's evergreen. They own it at the end, and it's covers all kinds. It covers grammar, and it covers syntax and sentence construction and vocabulary and all kinds of different lessons.
Awesome. So awesome. You guys have so many things going on. What I love about what you're doing is, as you figure out a piece of what you're offering to the world and how you're helping people elevate, you say, well, let's get this information out. And you know what? We've done the writing. Let's help people with that. And we've helped people, and we've been in healthcare, and we figured out how to elevate people there and ourselves there. We need to speak there. And you know, Mariah, you mentioned schools being such a great source. The thing that I love about schools is that I didn't figure things out until the last few years in my life. And I have a lot more to figure out that I will continue to figure out. But the sooner we can get these lessons to people in their life, like if they could learn it, I always say, like, if they could learn it a day sooner than I did, but yeah. you know, a decade sooner, a generation sooner, how much more amazing is that for that person?
That's right. And that's the one thing, Andy, we know the term neurodivergent is even misunderstood or not even known. A lot of people have never heard the word. We hadn't even, I've been it for all my life and I had no idea. I just thought I was weird and I didn't fit in. And until people realize, no, you're not weird. You're perfect the way you are. You're a beautiful person.
Enough.
Then things start to click. Initially, we've noticed that people kind of go through a little bit of a grieving process where they're like, oh my gosh, why wasn't I told? I wish I'd had the resources. And that's where using all those bad things that you think of that were negative in your life, it's great to go ahead and reframe them
Right.
and look at it in, through a different lens and move forward.
Yeah, it's I've tried to change my. I remember sitting at a stoplight one time after my divorce, and like this thought came in my head of, man, if I shouldn't have sold that house that I had. I had a rental house and I had to sell it to kind of pay for getting out of the divorce and stuff. And I remember saying, man, I shouldn't have sold that because at this time, a few years later, the market here was just booming. And I thought, man, if I would have held on to that house, I could have paid off every bill I had with a complete fresh start and not, be putting life back together the same way. And I remember just reframing that thought right away and saying, wait, I can't say that I shouldn't have, because had I done that, I wouldn't have met the people I met. I wouldn't have gone through the lessons I went through. I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, which is so fulfilling. And try to say, yeah, had I not sold that house, these things would have happened. But I also don't know what else could have happened. And so when we look
That's
back, we have to be able to say, that's true. This other piece could have happened, but I also don't know what I'd be giving up, which may be so much more valuable.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So, Andy, I would encourage you folks to go to our websites, mandatetoelevate.com. And we've got all kinds of free stuff on there, by the way, one of which is Mariah's I Am exercise. You can download that for free. And it's in how many languages?
21
In
languages.
21 languages.
Well, that's an interesting story, Andy. Do I have a couple minutes I can
Yeah,
share
go
this?
for it.
I created I Am affirmation exercise, and it's to help people. It was to actually to help me initially to be able to look in the mirror, tell myself I love me, and then take those negative words and replace them because we know whatever follows I am follows you. Make it a positive word. And so mine starts with I am aware my thoughts create my reality. I am brave. I am confident. I am determined. And it goes through the whole alphabet. Funny side note is that I can't do the alphabet completely all the way through because my brain mixes up a few letters. And so it gets all complicated. Start out.
Chapter 26.
But
Exactly.
what I did was I put that out there as a free resource on our website. And I told people on LinkedIn, here, have this. And one day I got a note from someone who said, oh, I wish my mother-in-law could have this. She's in a very low place and she really needs to have this information. And I said, great, give it to her. It's free. And she said, well, she doesn't speak our language. And a light bulb went off
Just
just
like
like
that.
that. We're in a little community. It's now in 21 languages. And we're hoping to
Wow.
get it to 36 by the end of the year.
That's the plan, yeah.
And look at that person just sharing that comment has maybe they know because maybe they've heard you say it or maybe you let them know, but they could be living with no idea, not just that they helped their mother-in-law, but how many other people in all these different languages. That's amazing.
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
love.
Mm-hmm.
That is LinkedIn. That's the power of
That's
the world we live in, the
the good
global.
side of social media. Yeah,
Right.
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, there, and that's the thing with social media. It's powerful, and power can be good and power can be bad. So
Right.
which way are we going to lean into it?
That's
That's
right.
right.
Yep.
Now we're going to go in a minute, and when we do, I'm going to ask you for some advice or a challenge. Is there anything else we need to cover before I hit you with that?
Gosh, I don't know. I guess
We've been all over the place.
which I love. That's
No, I think we just about covered it all. We really appreciate your time here and your
Oh,
opportunity.
I just appreciate you guys. I love everything that you have done and are doing and are going to be doing in the future. It's amazing. Everybody listening, before we get to this last question, there are links to everything so you can follow, connect, get the free downloads, and get into your writing, get into those things that you want to do, get empowered and
Sure,
elevate.
yeah, and the books are all on Amazon, so yeah, go ahead and buy them. Yeah,
Yeah,
sure.
and every time you buy a book, every time you do something, you're helping Mariah and Byron get a message out to more people. So
That's
buy
true.
it for yourself, buy it for a gift, buy it, sometimes I have gotten to the point where I sometimes will buy, like when a friend writes a book, I'll buy two copies right away because you need yours. And it's like, okay, I know someone else I'll be able
Good
to, I
for
don't
you.
know who yet, but someone's gonna need this.
Yeah, good for
That's
you.
right.
Yeah, excellent.
So how would what advice or challenge would you give the world on how they could own their awkward?
Owning their awkward, it's leaning into knowing that you have a special gift inside of you that is going to require you to dig a little bit deeper and expose yourself in a way that you feel very uncomfortable or awkward doing. By doing this, you are giving someone else permission to be themselves. And that is a huge gift to somebody you may never even know.
That's right.
Love that.
Yeah, and as personal as it sounds, I'm going to say it anyway, because one of the things that drives us is we know, and here's a statistics that should be amazing to anybody. There are 7 billion people on this planet, and everybody on it is unique. And that's an astonishing fact. And we believe every single one of us has some kind of a gift that we have to share with the rest of the world. So you need to share that. You need to own that awkward, whatever it is. Don't be afraid of it. Take it out and show it to the world and make a difference. Because number one, you make a difference every day, no matter what you do. So make it a positive difference.
I absolutely love that. And when you shared that about 7 billion people, my mind started doing math and thinking, that really is astounding. Like to think that no two are exactly the same, and just that is an amazing number right there. So, wow. Well, I appreciate you too. I love everything that you guys are doing. I really am so grateful for this time together and just having you guys in my life and in the world, because you really are elevating people, and you put your lives behind your message, and it's so great to see.
We try.
Thank you, Andy. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Andy.
Thank you. Everybody else out there, be sure you go out today, buy their book, sign up for the I am statements. It doesn't matter what language you might not even hear know what I'm saying, but you can get the I am statements because it'll be in your language. So do it. Support Byron and Mariah. And as always, own your awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.